Jack Bailey, welcome back to the Blue Line Report. So happy to have you this week, guys. As always, I'm going to be joined by Isaac Donnelly, where we're going to be chatting about all things NHL for the start of the season. So, Isaac, how's it going, man?
I'm doing all right. I know it's been a while, and I think I remember poking fun at us not doing an episode for a while. I kind of predicted it was going to happen. And yeah, that clip aged really well. So yeah, happy to be here. It's been an interesting start of the year so far in terms of the NHL.
And I think we'll just jump right into it. I mean, I feel like the big story, at least for our lives, is the Ottawa Senators. So I'll let you go away on the Ottawa Senators first, and I'll give you my opinions a little bit. But you're this resident Sen fan, so I'll let you get a little first take in first.
I don't know where to start. So I'm just going to go to the start of the season. The start of the season was, honestly, you couldn't have imagined a better, like, first three games. Two, three games, right? Like, you won your opening weekend. You swept out. You beat the Flyers. You beat the Tampa Bay Lightning. And, like, everyone thought, including myself, that was a sign that we were going to dominate. And then a few games later, we're hitting the panic button over here. Pierre Dorion's out of a job now, which, to be honest, it was a fireable offense for losing a first round pick, but like, you have a team getting away with sexual assault, they don't get punished, they get actually Connor Bedard, and then we fuck up a trade and we lose a first round pick. So I guess Dorion being fired, I think, was more because of the outcome of that. I think if it was just a fine, he would have kept his job. I would have much rather to see him keep his job than DJ Smith. I think I speak for everybody on that, but Andlauer and Steo seem to have a lot of faith in DJ Smith, so they're just gonna have to ride this out.
I mean, I didn't see Dorion getting fired, but obviously them losing the first round pick over the whole situation there with Dadonov in Vegas and Anaheim. It's a little shocking to see them lose a first round pick, though. Like you said, I mean, you got this thing in Chicago that's really their only punishment is really given a fine when you get a team over here making a more paperwork move that messed up. They're being fined a first round pick. So I think it's obviously shocking,
yeah.
But the fact that they're being fined a first round pick is a fireable offense. I completely agree with you. And bringing in Steve Staios, they brought him in over the summer. I think the eventual plan was to bring in Staios as the GM anyways. So seeing him in this GM role is not surprising whatsoever. I think Andlauer and Staios obviously have the connection there, and this was eventually going to be the partnership. It's just kind of shocking how quickly it happened.
Yeah. And not to mention, like how you said Kyle Dubas and Jason Spezza are best buds. These two are best buds. Like, these are the kind of guys you'd expect to like have slumber parties together and all that fun stuff. But Staios was more brought in initially to run the hockey side of things. And now that you have him in an interim role as general manager of the Ottawa Senators, who's the next GM? Like, that's a question that will be circulating. I think that won't be solved until next season because I don't really see a need to. They got a lot on their plate right now. First of all, they got to focus on getting back to winning, which, quite frankly, you need to start doing it because people are starting to come to the games again. But like, as time goes on and you keep losing games, that crowd will go back to how it was during the COVID days like this. Look what's happening in San Jose. Look what's happening in Winnipeg. And then come talk to me about that because I hear all this stuff about, oh, San Jose should relocate, Winnipeg, oh no, you might have to when the team is shit, like people the average fan will not come out to support. Like, that's just like the bottom line. And there's markets that are extremely passionate. Like, I hate to say it, shout out Montreal.
Whoa,
You
whoa, whoa,
guys
whoa,
do
whoa. Hey,
a good
hold it up
job.
here. No, no, no,
Hey.
no. I think you're forgetting the other big market. I thought you were gonna come to my boys.
I'm not shouting out Toronto because it's all like corporate crowds.
Okay. Still the most
It's pretty
dedicated fan base
quiet.
in the league, but Montreal deserves
Still
it too.
dedicated. But But in your average markets like the Ottawas, the Winnipegs, the San Jose, it's like, and it doesn't help in Ottawa too when you have two hockey teams. And then whatever one does well, more people will migrate over and switch back and forth.
Exactly.
Like
Exactly.
that and the whole Pinto situation, like I just like started laughing when that came out, quite frankly.
I officially like it, I know it was gambling related, but he didn't gamble on hockey. So do we like I heard there was something with someone on his account or something. Anyway, it was clearly bad enough to be suspended 41 games. Which feels like it deserves like a press conference of, hey,
He
this is what
deserved
you
a press
did.
conference.
Don't do this. But I mean, the NHL coming out with no comment feels like the most NHL thing. So, you know.
Oh yeah. And like especially for a fan base like the Ottawa Senators who's been slapped around like a rag doll for the past 8 years. This is just another like one of those like bizarre like scenarios that have come about. This guy didn't even bet on hockey, which is allowed, but like there's rumblings with someone on his account, maybe potential dealings with a bookie or like we don't know. And we can't
Yeah.
say anything. I just find it funny how the NHL has Wayne Gretzky, Connor McDavid, Austin Matthews, and all their stars promoting gambling on these apps. Not to mention the Ottawa Senators had Bet99 as their helmet sponsor a couple years ago.
In
And
every
then.
single photo that Pinto's in, like all the stories, it shows a photo of Pinto. In every photo, Pinto's helmet says Bet99, which might
Oh,
be the
yeah.
most ironic and funny NHL thing I've ever seen.
And who else but the Sens for that to happen to? Like,
Right, I know.
it's just like,
But it feels like a weird situation. But anyway, he's gone 41 games. It's good that the suspension started with the start of the season and not the start of signing him
his
to a contract,
contract,
because
yeah.
that would put Ottawa in a chokehold situation there with having to get him signed so they could start the suspension. But thankfully, the NHL was gracious enough, I should say,
Gracious, yeah. That's
to
definitely
let
a
them
word.
start the suspension. So, I mean, he won't be back at least until January, and then we'll see if he gets signed or not. But I said at the start of the year, I said Ottawa on paper right now is a playoff team, but if they deal with injuries, they will be screwed. And Isaac,
And
please
look
tell me
what's
what they
up.
have dealt with. What have they dealt with the start of the season?
Wow, Jack. Let's just say Jacob Chychrun is back to playing 30 minutes a night. Hamonic is playing more minutes than he's ever had in his career. And Jake Sanderson and Artem Zub are literally lifelines for this team right now. Oh my God. It's like at every corner, someone just has to do something to get injured. Like, I don't know what it is. Is it the ice at CDC? Is it just rotten luck? Or is it just, I don't know. Like, injuries galore with this team. Like, I agree with you 100%. If Ottawa were to stay healthy, I think the record would be different right now. Like, you can't blame this entirely on DJ Smith as much as we all want to
Yes.
use him as the scapegoat. Injuries suck for no matter what team you're on, and having your stars and key pieces injured, it sucks. Like, there's no other way to put it. Like, we're just lucky Chychrun has stayed healthy, knock on wood. Zub came back. Brännström's on his way back. So at least that helps a little bit. But these guys that like, coming up from Belleville gotta really step up because there's some expectation. But Sens are doing Sens things. But if you go around Canada to other Canadian teams, one team that's been surprising a lot of people. Oh boy, it's the Montreal Canadiens. And like, I don't even know where to start. Like, if you were to tell me the Habs would be off to a hot start this season, I would have called you mental.
Right. Yeah.
and it's like they're sneaky. Like they have a winning record. They're at 7-6-2 as we're recording this. And quite frankly, the Eastern Conference is pretty tight in general. But they're holding up. And like if Caulfield keeps the way he's going, like watch out. And for someone who likes to dunk on Cole Caulfield any chance he gets because Tim Stützle. But yeah, like just talking to Habs fans, they're like, yo, you got to talk about the Habs on your next episode. I'm like, I know I have to. Don't remind me about it.
Yeah, no, because they're good this year. I wouldn't say they're good. I still don't think they're a playoff team, but they've shown that they have the depth across their forwards and defensive group. I mean, this is kind of almost the anti-Ottawa, less star power, but more just overall depth. If a guy goes down, like right now, their first line is Newhook, Suzuki, Anderson. If one of those guys go down, they can plug him in with a Slafkovský, a Gallagher, a Caulfield, a Dvorak. Like there's guys for depth here. And I think it's proving that a team like Ottawa, who has much more star power than Montreal, if they face injuries, like, because every team's going to face injuries. There's never been a team that doesn't go through injuries throughout the year. A team with this much depth, like Montreal, has a fighting chance because they have guys to plug in.
They have
They
the
don't
depth.
necessarily have the star power. Exactly. They have the depth. They don't necessarily have the star power to really jump off the page, but they have the depth to keep up when injuries happen to this team. I mean, you have a really, like, I love Brendan Gallagher. As much as I dislike the Habs, I love Brendan Gallagher. He's on that third line. He's a good player. Sean Monahan, a great pickup. I think he's expensive, but when the Habs team is not necessarily close to the cap, it's not a luxury you can't afford. Jake Evans, he's a great player. Harvey Pinard is a very decent player, and they've been getting decent goaltending. Jake Allen's been fairly solid this year. Same with Caden Primo. They've both just kind of been solid. And it's not like this team hasn't faced injury. They don't have Doc or Savard right now, but they look solid. They're not a playoff team, don't get me wrong, but they look solid. They're not a
They look
team that's going to
solid
be fighting
and they
for
look
the
promising
first
too.
pick. Yeah, they're not a
They
team
look
that's going to be
promising.
fighting for the first
And
pick.
like this frustrates like me as a Sens fan because you see this rebuild that's lasted 8 years, and then you see the Habs going to a rebuild for like 1 year, and then but hey, like they're doing good. Vancouver's on a roll. Like Toronto's doing Toronto things in the regular season. Like that's no surprise there. Like they're not
Yeah.
gonna not do well in the regular season. They're not really a team that faces injury that too often. But yeah, it's been and Connor Bedard seems to be doing Connor Bedard things in Chicago. So it's good for the league and like yeah.
I do want to talk about the Leafs and go a little bit in depth about them, because I
Oh, of
think they
course.
have had an interesting season. Because honestly, like you said, the Leafs are going to make the playoffs. I'm not too worried about that. Not what we're worried about. But it's individual guys on this team that I'm kind of interested to see how Sheldon Keefe will be able to utilize throughout this lineup. You got a guy like Ryan Reeves who's super, super hyped up throughout the offseason. He's a big name signing. He's not a big name signing player wise, but like brand wise, he's a big name signing. Everyone knows who Ryan Reeves is. So a lot of excitement coming out of Toronto. And these first two games, he drops the gloves twice. One was Jacki in Montreal, and I forget the other one, but back-to-back fights to start the season, everyone's like, okay, here you go, Ryan Reeves. I know myself, I was very fired up to see Ryan Reeves fighting guys and standing up for our team. It was an exciting time. And then ever since those first two games, it has been downhill for him. He's
Yeah.
rocking one of the worst plus minuses in the NHL, and he's only playing 5 minutes a night. He got scratched last game, and our fourth line looked playable for the first time in a few weeks. And our fourth line wasn't a star. Like, our fourth line isn't superstars. We got Bobby McMahon, who just came up from the Marlies. I've been really high on Bobby McMahon. He's a big 6'3" forward who's not going to wow you with his skill, but he can be a power forward and really help you be a grinder on that fourth line, shut him down. Noah Gregor has been awesome. With 3 goals this year, I mean, there's not much more you can ask from a third line or a fourth line winger who you signed on a PTO. Noah Gregor's been elite this year, and I think He's been awesome in this position. And I think David Camp, oh my God, they played David Camp the entire season on the third line. It did not work. I love David Camp with a passion. I will stand up for this man in every argument, but man, he can't score. And that's not his thing. That's fine. He doesn't have to score. You don't have to score on a team with Matthews, Marner, Tavares, Nylander. You don't have to do that. But
As long as they're doing
you
their
can't
thing,
put him on the
right?
third.
Like,
Exactly. But you can't put him on the third line. He was that third line shut down every time he was out there with them. Domi looked almost invisible for the first few games. And Yarncroke looked pretty much the same, unless he was playing up in those first two lines. They had Matthew Nyes down on the third line, who looked not great until he played up with Matthews Marner. Shocker. Now he's good. So having Camp on the fourth line, I think Keefe has that figured out now. And like I really like the structures of the Lions right now. Nick Robertson, please stay healthy, man. Because if he does, he's so good. He's so good for what he is. If he stays healthy, oh my God, please stay healthy. Max Domi finally coming to his own. He has 0 goals, 9 assists, but yet has a game winner in the
I actually
shootout.
love
So
Max
that's
Domi.
fun. He's so
Like,
good, man. I love
I
how
love
he had a
watching him
fight
play.
last night.
I hate to say it, but like when I saw him like sign like go to the Habs, I was laughing because I was like, oh my God, a Domi on the Habs. And then there's the rumors of him coming to Ottawa, and I was like super like, yes. Do it. But then, like, honestly, seeing him back in Toronto is so
Fits,
good.
man.
Like,
It
it
fits.
fits.
It's so
I'm
cool.
like to have him play for his childhood team, number one. Number two, his dad's team is like, it's
That's
peak.
awesome. It's
Like,
pretty cool. Max Domi, and he's been kind of invisible the first bit, but I think he's starting to catch a stride now. He roofed. I know it was a shootout goal, but oh my goodness, he sniped one on the shootout. He's making plays that like. Setting up guys like Robertson and Yarncroke. He looks awesome. He had a fight last night. I was so
looking like
fired
his
up for
dad.
that. Oh my goodness. I mean, it was more of a hugging match, let's be honest. It was
But
a hey buddy, how you doing? Fight. But it was still a fight, which is awesome. And oh my God, Max Domi, love on the Leafs. And then the big boys are playing right now. This
there they are.
is all four are clicking right now. I guess you could say Marner's not, but he's still top 10 in the NHL in points. So I'd say that's clicking. He is all the big four are firing right now. Matthews leading the league in NHL in goals. He just gets a hat trick if he decides to. Nylander has a point in every game so far, has not had a game without a point. JT looks prime JT. He's just doing his thing. And
Oh,
then
yeah.
Marner, like I said, kind of cold, I guess, but he's still top 10, top 15 in points in the NHL. And you got Bertuzzi and Nyes playing. Oh, Isaac. This is a good team, man.
It's a
Really
good
good
team.
team.
And, like, it doesn't
Good
help that
team.
the Atlantic Division is a dog fight.
Exactly.
Like, it is the definition of a dog fight. Like, Boston just keeps, like, being Boston.
Other than
Like,
Boston, they just win. They just win.
they just
We
win.
got they
They
got rid
know
of
how to
Bergeron.
do it. And they do. I thought these guys were gonna actually be in for a rude awakening, but like, what a time to be a Boston Bruins fan. Like the new jerseys they came out with, oh my Lord, I love
They're
them.
pretty.
Like I'm such a jersey fanatic in any sport, and like I could talk about jerseys all day, but like the Bruins, like when I watch them play, I'm like, how is this happening? But that's another team that you talk about that just has depth straight out through. Florida's looking good. Detroit, hate to say it, y'all are looking good. I know DeBrincat's kind of cooled down, thankfully, but
Man, DeBrincat looked good at the start of the year, though.
he looked good at the start. And like, I was thinking if I wanted to go to the game in Ottawa, but then when I realized it was like the only one here, I was like, okay, I gotta go. You know, this is it. Then they lost that game, but like, you could tell how frustrated like the Sens fan base was with like that, and it was bound to come too. And just seeing him try to like push around Tkachuk, I found hilarious. But like he looked so good at the start of the year. Part of it, I feel like, was just management with him. The guy like DeBrincat, like if you set him up with the right people, he's gonna do Alex DeBrincat things. Like
Yeah.
I'm not saying he's a bad player, but like, it's always good when you have your stars playing with other stars. Like if you look at McDavid and Draisaitl, Matthews, Marner, Nylander, right? Like Zach Hyman, in my opinion, is one of the most underrated players in the NHL. The minute he started playing with McDavid and Draisaitl, he blossomed.
Yeah.
And like with seeing DeBrincat play with Dylan Larkin, that chemistry was so fun to watch as a hockey fan, like in general, right? And like
Yeah.
he's cooled down, but like Detroit's still winning games. Then if you go on the other side of Canada, the Canucks are again rolling. I love to see that. Calgary and Edmonton.
Oh my goodness.
Yikes.
Terrible, man. What is happening
Yikes.
with the Edmonton Oilers? Firing Jay Woodcroft on the weekend, for all those who don't know, that's the head coach of the team, and bringing in Connor McDavid's former head coach from Erie in his OHL days. So really trying to cater to Connor right now. Yeah, man, what is happening there? Like, I genuinely don't know why they're losing it.
Well, when you look at the Edmonton Oilers, the first thing that comes to mind to me is goaltending. They do not have that. Jack Campbell was back in the AHL.
Oof.
And everything is just a
Tough.
mess. Like McDavid and Draisaitl are struggling for the first times in their career. And they're still on a point per game pace. But like that team is so heavily revolved around those two, and their game plan has literally been for the last few years, I feel like, is just let these two guys take us far and try to bring in pieces to cater to these guys. And they're afraid, and I would be too, because like say hypothetically McDavid gets fed up, which at this rate it's only bound to happen. You're gonna have to deal with him. And like
Is
if
it time to
McDavid goes,
start the talks? Is it time to
yes,
start the talks
I am willing to start the
to
I'm
bring
willing to
him
start
home?
those. Okay, that's
Are we
impossible.
bringing Connor home?
You have no cap space, but
I
like
don't care.
if
We'll find a way. We'll
the
find a way for Connor McDavid.
thing, but like even with Draisaitl, like if McDavid were to go, I think Draisaitl would want to leave too, right?
Probably. Probably.
But yeah, it sucks because when the Oilers are doing good, it's so good for the game, right? Like you have the history there with like Gretzky, Messier, Coffey, Curry, right? And like Oilers fans, like who I talk to and I know, just don't want history to repeat itself. Except McDavid hasn't won in Edmonton, which like time's ticking. Well, not ticking. I shouldn't say that, but like time will come by faster than you think, right? Like, it
Yeah,
felt
no,
like, yeah.
McDavid's clock is ticking in Edmonton. I think they got to start winning now, because he is a generational talent. He's the best player in the sport by far. I think that's not an argument. He's the best player in the
That's not an
sport.
argument.
And like, I don't know, man. He's so good. He's so freaking good. It's
Oh, yeah.
ridiculous. You got to win with him. You can't let him go to another team. You can't let him come to Toronto, because if he comes to Toronto, he's going to start winning cups, and the league doesn't want that. So you can't let him come to
The league does
Toronto.
not want that. I don't
The league
want
don't
that.
want the Leafs to
But
win a
like,
cup.
we won't start drawing up mock trades until actual rumors start to happen. But like, I just don't want him to go to like an American team like Vegas or New
Yeah,
York, right?
that's
Like,
fair. Bring him to
that's
Canada, where he
that always
belongs,
stings
in
as like a
Toronto.
sport as a sports fan. What always stings like is just seeing like generational talents, superstars. They start off in like a small market, become their franchise, and then they go to like the New Yorks, the Bostons, the LAs. I guess you can add Toronto in there too.
Oh yeah.
Montreal doesn't spend like a big market team, but you know.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean. And I think Connor McDavid, his eventual path is to come to the city where he grew up, to the six, and bring a cup home. Isaac, I'm gonna ask you, this is for fun. But Isaac, what would be, if you're the Edmonton Oilers, what are you asking for Toronto in a trade package? Hypothetically, what would you need from the Leafs to go, like, trade now, like current day?
Okay, I'm no GM, but I'm at least throwing in three first round picks. That's
I'm cool with
fair.
that.
Like no one, like if anyone calls me crazy on Twitter or X or whatever it's called now, feel free to hit me up and I will gladly argue over this. Three first round picks at least, maybe like a couple prospects. If Matthews is still on the team, yeah, at least have to like get him. Matthews,
Okay, hold on, hold on,
Marner,
hold
and
on.
Nylander, like one of those three, they gotta go back the other way.
So let's say Nylander. Okay, who would you, let's say Matthews. Matthews and 3 first-round picks for McDavid. As Toronto, I'm saying no.
Yeah, well, like then beat it because like what else are you gonna, because like how on earth is any team gonna try to is going to afford a trade for Connor McDavid? And like I know what's gonna happen too. The day he goes on that trade block, teams will be holding meetings to try to figure out how to land this guy. Because like it's not often a generational talent is like available. Right, that's why the Gretzky trade was so big in its time, and that's why when there was rumors about Crosby leaving Pittsburgh like a couple of years ago, it was huge. And like you look at it in baseball now with Shohei Ohtani, Toronto, but like
Potentially, hopefully.
you see that stuff like that, and you're just like, okay, because like you have to forget too, like with these kind of players and names, they're people that not just hockey fans know. Like the casual sports fan will know Connor McDavid. The casual sports fan will know Shohei Ohtani. The casual sports fan will know LeBron James and Lionel Messi, for example. Right? So McDavid's name translates into dollars. And like I've seen it firsthand too, right? Like I've seen the dude play a few times with my own eyes. And I see more neutrals there than fans of any team. Because it's like it's Connor McDavid, right?
Yeah,
Like
you want to watch him play.
you want to watch him play. So it'll be interesting to see. I'm not gonna pay too much attention to that right now because it's still early in the year.
Isaac, listen,
As
hear
much
me
as
out.
you're
Toronto.
kicking the idea of him going to Toronto right now, you can
It's not
keep
gonna happen right
dreaming,
now.
pal.
It's not gonna happen right now. Okay, so first off, I'd like to say the year McDavid becomes a free agent, John Tavares also becomes a free agent along with Mitch Marner. So we would have enough money, hypothetically, to sign Connor McDavid. That's 20 mil. That's $21 million coming off our books. So we would have enough money
Man.
to sign.
And what year is this?
This would be not next year, but the year after. That would be McDavid's year. So we have enough money. It's in the plan. It's in the Shanna plan. But hypothetically, current day, if you're the Oilers, would you not take William Nylander, Matthew Nyes,
You can't
who
even
else?
keep a straight face right now.
Yes,
I know
I'm keeping
y'all
straight.
can't see this, but like,
Nylander, Nyes, Liljegren, Topi Niemela. That's our top three prospects plus William Nylander and 2 first-round picks for Connor McDavid. The money would work. The player, the you'd get 2 first-round picks, you'd get a superstar player right now, and you'd get 3 elite prospects. Would that not be enough to get McDavid done? Then you could have a first line of who could you have a first line of? Let me look. You could have a first line of Bertuzzi, Matthews, Marner. Then you could go John Tavares, Connor McDavid,
you're
and
saying McDavid
Nick
would be on the
Robertson.
second line in Toronto.
Nick, okay, hold on.
Are
You could
you
have a line of
crazy?
McDavid, Matthews, Marner, the MMM line. Okay,
Okay,
hold on.
but
You would go
listen.
first line. Here's what I'm thinking for first line. You go Bertuzzi, McDavid, and Max Domi. The second line, you go John Tavares, Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner. That's the best top six in the NHL right there. And all it costs is Nylander and whatever I said. I say get it done. If Treliving's a true GM, he'd get it done right now.
Well, here's the thing. If McDavid remains frustrated, you could see him on that TSN trade bait board.
Oh, yeah.
But if you're the Oilers, though, you want to hold on to him like he's your child, right? Like,
Yeah.
this guy, the day he arrived in Edmonton, they literally told him, yeah, you're the franchise now, kid. Like, straight up. And, like, if you go around, like, Canada as well too, for like in terms of hockey. We talked about Montreal, talked about Ottawa, talked about Toronto. Calgary's a mess. Like, there's not really much else to say with that. Calgary's just Calgary. This is nothing new. Winnipeg, on the other hand, wow. Like, it's
Yeah, they're
unfortunate to
weird.
see what's happening. It's a weird situation too.
It is.
Because, like, they were off to a good start, but, like, they weren't filling the barn. And, like, I don't know what it is. Like, I'm not an expert on Winnipeg at all. But, like, you play in a. I'm not. I think I'm not the one to talk about attendance, about other teams. I
Yeah.
really can't. Because, like, I understand what it's like to be a struggling fan base. And, like, yeah. I won't say any
Yeah.
more on that.
So yeah, the fan base thing is tough in Winnipeg, and I mean it's tough. Like as a Sens fan, you know what it's like. You know what it's like going through that.
Tough
Like
spell.
having little fan base here. I think Winnipeg, tickets are way too expensive, man. I think the
Yeah.
Jets, the average like fan of the Winnipeg Jets is not going to be able to go to a Jets game. If you're spending $60 plus per ticket, and $60 right now will get you a 300 plus level seat. You're not getting
Like, you're
anywhere
not getting
close
good
to seeing the
seats.
action.
And, like, that's one thing I applaud the Sens on a lot. They've kept their ticket prices reasonable, right? Like,
Yeah.
for NHL hockey, like, I'm not expecting anything crazy, but, like just on, like, for, like, base standard tickets for the Ottawa Senators on Ticketmaster, the cheapest ticket you'll find is roughly around $30 to $35, and that's fair. That's 30, like, dollars Canadian, so it's, like,
Yeah.
cheaper in the US. But like,
No, exactly.
even like with expensive tickets though, when it's on like your base ticket price is like so high, for the people who look on StubHub and other apps like myself, you'll notice like the inflation on those. And like, I don't know. And it's tough to see too, because like Winnipeg's like, it's a blue collar town, you know? It's a middle class, like, small Canadian market, right? That's passionate. And
Yeah.
like, you just keep driving the prices to the point where like
They
people are
can't
getting
afford it.
priced out. They can't afford it. And like, I'm not just saying it like this, because they have been one of the most dedicated fan bases in the NHL since this team moved to Winnipeg. And like, to see it like start to struggle, it's tough. Because
Yeah.
like, even though like all fans of Canadian teams like don't hate each other, but not necessarily like each other. Like, seeing Canadian teams struggle suck, because there's not many of us, first of all. And second of all, hockey's our sport. Like, you're like, no one will ever take that away. And that's why, like, I really want Quebec City to get a team again. Like, that's actually next on my list of arenas to hit. I want to go see a Quebec Ramparts game. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think like for a top four or for a family of four to go to a game, it's $200 plus. That's ridiculous. You can't get food at the game. Food is crazy expensive. So that's always kind of been the case. But with tickets, $60 plus for a family of four, $200, whatever, for a night out, which like, I don't know, you get a random game on a Tuesday against the Flyers. Who cares? No. A family of four is not going to that, and that's your target demographic at the end of the day. You will get your hardcore fans coming every game, but you really want to get your casual audience. And if
Yeah.
you can't achieve that, then you're screwed as a team. And Ottawa knows what it's like to go through that. It's just tough for Winnipeg right now, and the fact that they're not winning doesn't help either. But it's just tough to see what they're going through right now, and hopefully they can kind of come out of
Get
it.
themselves out of it, because like,
Exactly. No, we want them to come out of it and hopefully have Winnipeg as a successful market again in the NHL, because we've seen what it's like when they are a successful team and they're an awesome fan base. So hopefully Winnipeg can maybe take a look at the ticket prices and maybe see lower them or whatever. But We'll see what they do with that.
And there could be
Hopefully
more
one
behind
center.
that too, right? Like, we
Yeah.
don't know how much debt a team has accumulated. We don't know, like, sometimes the people on the business side just really try to like take money out of people's pockets, which like I get it, right? Like you're trying to make money at the end of the day, and like
It
that's
is a
fine.
business.
But like you have to be able to appeal to draw those customers, and like, yeah, not winning
Yeah,
helps.
it's tough. It's tough. And I, something I did want to touch on before we head out is Brady Kachuk. I did want to talk about his comments in the media because I think this is
Oh,
ridiculous. I think
I'm
he's an
surprised I didn't
absolute.
bring this up.
Yeah, I think he's. I kind of like Brady Kachuk. I think he's fine for what he is. I'm not the. He's fine. I'm not the biggest fan of him. He's fine. He's whatever. I think he's an idiot for this. I think he's a complete idiot for calling out the Sens fans, calling it absolute BS for them booing. Brady, you guys have sucked. You guys, I'm going to put it very simply. You guys are the worst team in the Eastern Conference right now. You guys suck. And you've promised your team for the last, your fans for the last 3 years that you were going to be a playoff team. This is the third year in a row you pooped the bed at the start of the season and have sucked. Brady Kachuk is the captain of the team, is the face of this team. So for him to come out and make fun of the fans and call what they were doing BS, call them booing. You tell me booing is BS? Give me an absolute break. Give me an
Oh
absolute
yeah.
break. I care
Like,
less for Brady Kachuk. The two ways a fan can show his or hers disapproval of the team is A, boo. What the second one is, Brady? Not freaking show up to the game. And that's what it's been for the last few years. You actually have fans in now, and they're showing their disapproval because you promised them for the third year in a row that you were going to be a playoff team. They're booing you out of the building. I don't care if it makes you
no, me
angry
neither.
and you have a
Heck, I'm
temper
booing.
tantrum. Yeah,
Like,
I don't care if you throw a temper
I am someone
tantrum.
who has supported Brady Kachuk in like everything. Everything. When his name's dragged into the media, I'm always like on his side. But for this, I had enough when I saw these comments. Yeah, it was bound to happen too, because to say the Sens fan base has been patient is an understatement. Is an understatement. And this was a year that I know I'm acting like the year is lost out now, but like it certainly feels like it. But like you have a new ownership group coming in, right? Fans start to show up to games again. You won your first two, and everyone thought it was going to be okay. And then you started losing and losing and losing, right? And for a fan base that's been so patient with you and has been so patient for this team, it was bound to happen. And I get it. You love DJ Smith. He's the only NHL coach you've also ever had. So of course you're gonna have like that kind of like connection
Sure.
with him. But like if you were to see a guy like Claude Giroux, okay, who's the absolute definition of a professional, he would have taken some accountability for it. Like I don't see any accountability anywhere. Like
None.
DJ doesn't hold his players accountable. Like Brady's not holding himself accountable or anyone on this team. So like it's a shit show.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I get it. They won their last game. Like,
Cool.
whoop-de-doo, we beat the Flames.
Cool. Yeah.
But like,
One of the worst teams in the NHL currently, but awesome.
Yeah, it's frustrating because like I wanted to see DJ Smith succeed. I really did. And I also used to defend him, but then as time goes on, you just need a new voice.
Yeah, I think so.
Because
I
there's two
yeah,
differences
DJ
between a
Smith.
coach. There's two different coach like types of coaches. Like the difference between a coach in a rebuild and for a contending team is far more different. When DJ Smith was brought in, he was brought in for the rebuild, right? Like, kind of like what Charlie Montoyo was like in for the Blue Jays, right? Like, he was there, was always focused on letting the kids play, you know? And then the Blue Jays started getting good. They couldn't get anything done when it mattered. I mean, yeah, that's still a recurring theme. I get it. I'm just using it as
Yeah,
an
but
example.
yeah.
But like, you see the point. And Charlie Montoyo was a player's coach. Players love playing for him. And players love playing for DJ Smith. So like it's hard to tell, but like at the end of the day, you play in the NHL. Every team has the same goal, and that's to win the cup. And to get there, you have to make the playoffs, which this team hasn't done in 8 years, which is crazy to think. And now you're telling me these guys are about to go to Sweden. And
Below
if history
500.
below 500, this is not what we wanted. This is not what anyone wanted or anyone expected of you. They're underperforming again. And it sucks because I'll never stop loving this team. Like, I'll never hop on another team's bandwagon or anything like that. But, like, think about it for the casual fans that started showing up to games again. The hockey fans, not the Sens fans, the hockey fans. Like, let's face it, at the end of the day, if they keep losing, it's about to get ugly. Because, like, Ann Lauer has to, like, put his money where his mouth is on this, and he's been terrific. Right, his when I listen to his press conferences, I see an owner who is in it, who wants to win. He says all the right things 100% of the time, right?
Yeah. No, he's been great.
And it's a
He's been
fresh
really
breath of
great.
air. But like, when you say you want to be a first-class team, you got to start holding guys accountable. And if they keep losing, and by Christmas, let's say, this is such a long leash. If by Christmas things aren't working out, you got to make that choice.
Yeah, man. Like, I don't know. We had the guys from Locked On Sens come on at the start of the season and say if they weren't above 500 by Sweden, that he should be gone. Well, we're at Sweden right now, and he's below 500. Not even at five. He's below 500. They're one of
He's
the worst
below
teams in the
500.
NHL right now. One of the worst teams in the NHL right now. And it looks like he's going to be here for a little bit, which I don't understand. But I think he's not clearly not the coach. Brady is
Yeah.
not being held accountable. Brady's not holding his guys accountable. Because really, I feel like he's taken over that locker room, which is great, but he hasn't taken anyone accountable. He's going to throw a hissy fit in the media and say it's BS that his fans are booing him. Give me an absolute break.
And
You've been
like at the end of
terrible
the
all
day,
year.
at the end of the day, you're an NHL, you're a professional athlete. You're bound to get booed. I'm sorry, but it like, yeah, does it, do you want to get booed? No, but is it gonna happen?
Dude,
Yeah.
you make
And
$8 million a year. I don't feel bad for you for fans booing you because you suck at your job. That's really what it is. He sucks at his job currently, and fans are booing him. Get over it, man. Be better. The perfect example was Matthews came out 2 nights later. Toronto had got booed out of their building, and he came out and said, "You know what? I didn't want to be booed and stuff, but I get it from the fans." And because he scored a goal and he said it woke up the fans. He wanted to give them a show and understood why they were quiet and were booing him. That's what you gotta say because you gotta
that's what
realize
you got to
why.
say. And like, I hated that math that I'm saying this, but Matthews was 100% right. And I loved seeing that because, like, yeah, it sucks to see it happen for your own team. And like, I really want them to turn it around soon, but like, I don't see it. I really don't. This is a new low, quite
Yeah.
frankly. In a year where expectations were put on your shoulder. And
So
let's
high.
face it, the brand of dump and chase hockey never sells, never will.
Yo,
Like,
watching the games, it's dump and chase without the chase, man. That's honestly what it feels like watching the Sens right now. It feels like they have no heart right now, which is a sign that DJ Smith has clearly lost the locker room.
oh, he's lost that room. Even though he doesn't know it, and the players don't know it either. But anyway, yeah, like
It's tough. It's a tough
Canadian
situation
teams
around there.
are having a rough time, unless your name is Vancouver or Toronto or
Yeah.
Montreal.
Exactly. No, Montreal is living on cloud nine right now. But the rest of us are
The
a little
rest of us
shaky.
are like, we need to wake up.
Exactly, man. Exactly. So a weird start to the season for sure. But we will be coming to you in the next few weeks and we'll be giving you updates more frequently. And
More
we'll be keeping
sports
you
too.
updated on exactly. We'll be keeping you updated on this NHL season. And like you said, more sports. Touching, we didn't
Hopefully,
even touch on
yeah, I gotta
football
talk about
today.
the NFL.
Oh yeah,
And I
exactly.
wanna,
But
and before we hop off, I want to give a shout out to the Barrie Colts. I was in Barrie over the weekend and I got the chance to check out a game between the Colts and the Battalion. Great experience. Like, it was great. The rink, gorgeous. Like, had that old time hockey feel, right? Seats were like you're close together. Didn't seat a lot of people, but it was packed, right? Caliber of hockey was great. Like, they put on a good show. And yeah, I love checking out hockey wherever I can go. And
go
well
support
done,
your
Barry.
OHL team. If you have local hockey, go support them because it's hockey, man. I think people sometimes forget that hockey's fun. It doesn't have to be this whole media show like the Ottawa Senators and the NHL and Blackhawks and whatever. It doesn't have to be a bad thing. Hockey's awesome. So go support your local hockey. Go support your local sports. But yeah, shout out to the Barrie Colts.
Oh yeah.
Exactly. And yeah, we'll be coming next week with more local. More sports updates. We'll get you updated on all NFL things next week, and we'll touch on any incoming NHL news if shit pops up this week. So we will see you next week. Thank you, Isaac,
Yeah.
for showing up on the
Well,
podcast.
of course.
Check out our Instagram and our X at blue_lion_report. You can follow me on Instagram and on Twitter at jbailey23, BAYLEY. Isaac, you want to plug yours?
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram at Isaac underscore Donnelly 16. I think I got that right. And then on X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it, just Isaac Donnelly 16. And yeah.
Perfect, man. All right, we'll see you next week, guys. Have a good day.